Many of you are wondering what in the world was that all about. And it's a one-trick pony. There's one preaching point out of that video. When I made that video with my intern Bob 11 years ago, he's gone on to become a good friend of mine. I go on hiking trips with him. But I remember I asked the youth group, I said, so what's the point? What's the preaching point? What did you learn from this video? This one girl raises her hand. She lives right down the street here. I said, yes. She said, you're a jerk. I said, no, I can see how you would think that from the video. Many years ago, I did a Sunday school class for high school students. And this was probably in the 80s. I brought a pillow into class, took the class, we went outside. There's a couple of willow trees out there. And I asked the students, I said, we're going to tear this feather pillow open. And I want you to spread the feathers as far as you can around the field here. And we did it. They did it. And that's all we did that day. I mean, we went back in class, did a lesson, had a class. The next week, I had the pillowcase, the empty bag. It's really not a pillowcase. And I said to them, I said, we're going to go out and we're going to collect the feathers now. We got about as many feathers as Napoleon Dynamite did there. Because over the course of a week, they blow away, it rained, we really couldn't find them. I was doing a series with the students on speech, on the things that we say. Today, as we continue our wisdom series, we're going to look at the words that we say. And if you're not a Napoleon Dynamite fan, and that's totally fine if you're not, if you can't figure out that was a character from a movie that I think does it better than the character himself in the movie. But the point is simply this. When we speak words, they're like feathers. And once they are out, you cannot get them back. Now, that can be a really good thing, and it can be a really bad thing. I'm going to share a passage of scripture from James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, the half-brother of Jesus writes this, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." How well are we able to control our tongues? That's what James is going to expound upon here. Verse 3, "When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil unto the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's image. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be." Father, speak to us from your word. I believe if we're honest this morning, there's not a single one of us that would say that we have perfect control over the things that we say. And yet, you can give us that kind of self-control. Speak to us from your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. So, feathers. I'm going to give you an example of some negative feathers that I put out there. Can't get them back. Years ago, when I pastored in the city of Chicago, our denomination had a banquet to raise money for missions. It was called Speed the Light. And when you got a call from the district office and they asked you if you would be the treasurer or the secretary or you would help on the Speed the Light committee, there's only one acceptable answer. Yes, I will do it. And so I remember one of my friends, he was in charge of it one year, and probably because he was my friend, David Plake, who was down in the district office, got the idea to ask me. So the next year, I helped with the banquet. It was a lot of work. And I'll never forget, my buddy Dan came up to me. He said, "So you got plaked." I said, "What?" "David Plake called you. You got plaked." I said, "Yeah, I did. I got plaked." I was a district council the next year, and I came up to a guy who also had been plaked. He got the call from district council, from the district office, from David, and he couldn't say no. So I went up to him and just good-naturedly. I mean, I'm just trying to get a smile out of him. I said, so I hear you've been plagued. He had kind of a sick look on his face. That's because David's plagued son was standing right behind me. I've never been able to get that feather back. You can apologize. You can say you're sorry. Folks, how many of us could tell stories of some feathers, some words we'd like to get back? Right? I think if we're honest, each and every one of us have some. And sometimes we say things we don't even mean, and it would be harmless if no one was there to hear it, but we say things. But you know, we have the power in our tongue to say good things and to do good things. I think it was 1994, I was in Mexico, and we'd go to Mexico, we'd go out in the street, we'd do street drama, we'd draw a big crowd because we're these crazy gringos that come down. And so we're doing this street ministry down there. Had a chance to pray with homeless people, with all sorts of folks down there. I could tell you lots of story about that. But on this one occasion, this guy comes running up to me, and he's like, Paul, Paul. And I'm like, I don't recognize the guy. And he's like, so excited to hear that I was so excited to hear that you're here. It's so good to see you. And I'm shaking hands with him, and he's probably figuring out that I don't remember him, but I was there in 1990. And he said, oh, yeah, when you were here 4 years ago, we went out in the streets with you guys then. We had a great time. He said, I remember all the stuff that you said, and so does Paul. You remember Paul? And I'm kind of like, I'm having a hard time placing him. He said, he's been going out doing all the stuff that you taught us to do for the last 4 years. And I didn't even remember him. But words went out of my mouth. Folks, there are things that you say to people when you send them cards, when you send texts to people, send notes to people, when you talk to them on the phone. There are so many things that we say that can have such a positive impact, but our words are like feathers, and we're not getting them back. Good or bad, we're not getting them back. So let's take a look at kind of the dark side of the tongue. I'm not asking you to stick your tongue out. I'm not suggesting there's an actual dark side on it. But I would suggest to you that the number one Christian failing with the tongue, gossip. I mean, we've almost got a monopoly on it because we've got such a great avenue to share gossip with one another. That's it. It's called prayer requests. I'd like you to pray for so-and-so in the church. Well, why? Well, they're really having this problem. Well, what's the problem? And we get into the problem. And sometimes we share more details. You know, sometimes when we talk about other people, sometimes we need to. In leadership positions, in different situations, we need to talk about people. When we do so, we need to be objective and we need to be discreet. And we need to not share more details than we ought to. I always remember one time I was sitting in an office at a church with a fellow staff member, and they were sharing story after story, and I'd already listened to one that I didn't think that I should have heard. And we got to the second one. I said, please, I'm just going to ask you to not finish this story because I do not need to know what you're saying because it affects people. Gossip is something, there's a number of things that the book of Proverbs has to say about gossip. Here are some of them, and I can give you a chapter and verse later if you're interested. It betrays a confidence. Sometimes people say things to you that are meant only for you. I know some people think that a secret is something that you tell other people one at a time. That's not a secret. If someone tells you something in confidence, it needs to stay with you. If you wonder sometimes, or if I wonder sometimes why people don't share things with me, maybe it's because I've been too free sharing those things with other people. A gossip can separate close friends. Did you hear what so-and-so said? Did you know that she did that? A gossip can separate close friends, so says the writer of Proverbs. The Bible says that in Proverbs they're like choice morsels that go down to the innermost parts of the person who hears them. And sometimes people kind of tease you with information too, where to the point where you're like, tell me more. The classic conversation on the phone is between two people that one's telling the other about this whole story, and they've already been filling in some blanks. And finally, the person that's listening says, please tell me more. And the guy on the other end of the phone says, I can't. I've already told you more than I know. That's the way gossip works. Well, I would imagine, you know, I wasn't there, but I would imagine it went something like this. It's dangerous stuff. It says that without a gossip, a quarrel dies. It's like the fire goes out, but then sometimes we get some rabble-rousers who come along and they just pass information along. The problem that I see with gossip is that we don't take it seriously. I remember hearing John Ortberg, and since then I've read a number of his books, and he's one of my favorite communicators, both in speech and in writing. But he preached a passionate message on the unity of the church family. And he was to the point of tears saying, why do we not take gossip seriously? Because I know of nothing that divides Jesus' church more than gossip. It hurts us. It comes against the unity that God gives us. It puts a wedge between brothers and sisters. It's not a harmless, simple thing. In Romans chapter 1, we like to think of gossip as sort of this, wow. Some of us would probably even say, I'm actually really good at it. You know, I mean, we almost take pride in it. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about people who've rejected God, reject that he even exists. And then it says that because of this, God gave them over. It's a very slippery slope. And in chapter 1, verse 28 of Romans, Paul writes this, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind. When we say no to God long enough, he is a gentleman. He will say, okay, if you really want to go in that direction, I've warned you, I've told you not to go there. Sometimes in parenting, it's tough love. You've said all that you can say, then you have to let someone learn something the hard way. That's all God's saying here, is I will let you go the direction you want. Verse 29, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. And this is pretty serious stuff here. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. And I think most of us right now are like, well, thank goodness I'm none of those bad things. But then he starts to really hit home as he moves further down the list. They are gossips. Gossips. Slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. Now, there's two things in here that really stand out to me because they seem to not be as bad as the other ones. And that's gossip and disobedient to parents. But they're serious things. They're really serious things. Now, you want to put gossip on steroids? There's a name for it. It's called slander. Slander is a little bit different than gossip because gossip, I'm passing along information that maybe you don't need to know. Slander has intent. And slander usually has a half-truth in it. It's slander is gossip with intent, and it has a half-truth or a complete lie in it. And you pass it along to other people with intention, with intentionality. It's character assassination. It's putting the feathers out there where they don't belong, and you know they're not going to come back. The book of Leviticus, the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs all speak against slander. Now, have you ever been slandered? Most of us would probably say you have. Sometimes you don't know the intent. Every once in a while, you get a window into something where you realize that there's intent. I remember back in the day, right around the time that this video came out, a little bit after that we made this video, Heidi and I started dating. And someone started a rumor about Heidi and myself. And it contained, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, it contained one word that was false. But that one word changed the entire tenor of it. And I also know that there was a parent of one of the youth who instructed his son to spread that rumor. Intentionality. I know it because a person was with him when he said it. Now, the Christian response to that is to forgive. Sometimes it's easier said than done, especially when it involves someone that you love, because it didn't just hurt me, it hurt my fiance. One other thing with that story, because you don't normally get feathers back, it was about 3 years later, we were married, and I had a chat with a young man who'd grown up in the youth group, not the one that I'm talking about, somebody else, who had heard the story, and he still remembered it. And do you know what? He had one word wrong, and I corrected the one word, and he's like, oh, you didn't do anything wrong. It's like, no. Oh, all this time I thought, I know what you thought, but you know what? I couldn't get those feathers back. I remember years ago, 20-some years ago, there was a time where someone was saying some false things about my brother. And that's sometimes where it really gets hard, when people say things against people that we know, people that we love. My brother was an elder at the church, and there was someone who was saying some false things about him. I was so proud of my brother, how he responded to it. He said, He said, I can't stop or control what other people say. I can't stop or control what other people hear. He said, I know this, that there may be people who slander, there may be people who lie, there may be people who say things like that, and it may affect the hearts and minds of other people, but it will never affect the heart of my Heavenly Father, nor will it change how he views me. As a matter of fact, let's take a look at the words of Jesus. Sermon on the Mount, as a matter of fact, I read these last Sunday. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. Blessed are you when people insult you. Now, I don't normally, don't put this into practice with me, okay? Don't say, well, he said that he'll be happy if you insult him. The insults come enough, you don't have to be intentional with it. Not from you, from other places. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Jesus said, don't worry about that, and rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Folks, our response when people say false things about us, for the most part, trying to defend ourselves, it just doesn't work. When we try to defend ourselves, we just make it look worse than it was in the first place. Sometimes one word can be added and one word can be taken out, and it changes everything completely. Kurt Schilling, former baseball pitcher, and now he's a baseball commentator. He was a baseball commentator on ESPN. He said something last Little League season. He put something out, and they banned him from being able to announce Little League games because he said something about Muslim extremists. I read a blog that he wrote. To this day, people are still saying that he said what he said about Muslims. He did not. He said about Muslim terrorists, Muslim extremists. That would be like me being offended if somebody said something about the Ku Klux Klan. While the Ku Klux Klan might read a few portions of this book and claim some link to Christianity, it's not in any way, shape, or form. But all people have to do is drop one word or add one word, and that's slander. Kurt Schilling was let go this past week by ESPN for another viewpoint that ESPN/Disney did not deem appropriate. Whether it's appropriate or not, we live in a time where there is political correctness to the point that you will lose your job if you say something that's incorrect. It's a little bit mind-boggling to me. Let me mention one other thing about speech. In the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments, we are instructed to not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Now, there's a lot more to that than simply using a cuss word and turning the name of God into a cuss word. That it's implying to the Jewish culture that don't take the name lightly. That's, as a matter of fact, why in the Old Testament they wouldn't even write the name of God. That's why you just have the four consonants. And that's where we get Yahweh or Jehovah from, depending on the origin of the nation that we got it from and the language that we got it from. They wouldn't even say the name of God. They wouldn't write it. They wouldn't say it. It was ineffable. That's how much reverence they had for the name of God. Now, I know that people are offended in our culture today by certain words, and we should be. But maybe it would be good if we added a couple more to the list. The Bible says not to take the Lord thy God's name in vain. And I'm not going to go too much into the example, but you know that there is a hockey player for the Chicago Blackhawks who said one of those words that you shouldn't say. And you shouldn't say that word. But how many times do we hear people ask and command for the judgment and damnation of God Almighty on something in front of those of us who revere that God, and they say it in a flippant way? Should we not be offended by that? And I'm not suggesting that we go out and we complain about it. That's really not my point. But where's the sensitivity in that area? Or to take the name of Jesus Christ and to put an expletive in the middle of it. Can you imagine what would happen if we were to do that with the names of other gods in our culture? This is just one of the things that makes me think and causes me to think that something isn't quite right in our culture. Some people will say, well, it's as far as speech, it's only the Lord's name you're not supposed to take. As far as four-letter words, and I'm not talking about love here, okay? I'm talking about some other four-letter words, and some five-letter words, and some six-letter words. And there are some words on the radio, I can't figure it out. You know, George Carlin had the seven words you're not supposed to say and can't say on TV. It's down to like one or two. And then they're creative, and then they add this after that word, and then it's okay. I have no idea what the rules are anymore on that. But I remember we were on a mission trip. We're going down to Haiti. We're staying in a hotel, and the next morning at breakfast, one of the leaders says, I got a couple of girls, and I mean, they're great kids, but she says, they're talking like truck drivers. Now, no offense to truck drivers. I mean, I don't know where that expression came from. I mean, it probably should just be take a left, go 500 miles, and then take a right at Kansas City. That's how a truck driver talks, you know. Come on, good buddy, all right, 10-4 and all that. But we know what we're talking about, and we're talking about talking like a truck driver. Do you know, I wish that would happen today, because I think now, you know, I'm older, and I'm more eccentric, and I'm a little goofy. You know what happens when, how many of you understand that the older you get, that like somebody hits you with that stick, and you just, yeah, I see some hands, yeah, it's me, I know, it's happened. So, but I think I'm a little bolder now. So these girls were just throwing all sorts of bombs all over the hotel room, and this leader couldn't get them to stop. They're just like, no, we're free in Jesus. We can talk. Just can't take the Lord's name in vain. So if this happened today, I think I'd sit down with those two girls at breakfast at the hotel and drop a few bombs at the table and see how they respond. Just a few choice adjectives and nouns and a few other things. And they'd be like, well, no, you can't talk like that. Well, why not? You do. If you can talk like a truck driver, why can't I? Well, it's not right. Well, why is it not right? We're pretty good at having all sorts of double standards when we want to have them. Ephesians chapter 4, if you're wondering, and we're going to get to a positive note and then we'll close. Some people will say, well, you know, it really doesn't matter how you talk. And trust me, I'm really not offended. Now, working with teenagers, we sat in a circle out there a couple weeks ago, and not bad words, but I was learning words that I'd never heard before. Just never heard them. What was the cool one? I'd never heard that one before. I thought cool was cool. It's, what is it? It starts with constipated, and there's four letters, and that's what they mean when they say you're cool. I'm kind of like, man, I hope nobody ever calls me cool again. But words have a lot, and I'm really not offended by them. But they do have an impact. They do. If all of the great works of literature have not had a positive effect, if the greatest orators in the world have not had a great, well, then what is the purpose of words at all? But words do have an impact. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now, if you're like me, it's tough to control our tongues. It's tough. Sporting events, driving, referees, all sorts of things, right? And here's the other thing is I can have a, see, I got a script up here. But let someone throw you off your script sometime. Playing basketball. You know, sometimes I'm playing basketball and someone will take the Lord's name in vain. Sometimes it'll be sort of directed at me and I'll just say what they say. They say, Jesus Christ. And I look at them and I say, no, I'm just one of his followers. And they are completely befuddled. Like, what? And you try to explain it. By that time, the ball's at the other end of the court and they're just like, you're crazy. It's like, yeah, well, I'm getting older and it happens, you know. I know folks don't normally think about it, but it's such an incredible disrespect to God. And it's also a disrespect to those who honor Jesus and who love the Heavenly Father. And it's not done with any other religion. Things that make you go, hmm. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. That's the truck driver stuff, okay? Come on, good buddy. That's it. Those are the four-letter words. Those are the bombs. But here's what the Apostle Paul challenges us to. And this is positive and it's good. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Wow. So the only things that I should be saying are things that are going to encourage you and bless you according to what you need. Well, that means I'm going to have to put a little thought into the stuff that comes out of my mouth, because I'm going to have to consider you. I'm going to have to think about you and the things that I say and how they will impact you. Now, I get to do that on a Sunday morning, but in conversations, when somebody says something that you don't expect, I am pretty good at not reacting to things, because I think that's what we're talking about here. Sometimes we react. But I don't care who you are, where you come from. If you're really, and I used to probably be more reserved than I am now, and I didn't react that much. But every once in a while, God puts someone in your path. I don't let people get under my skin. I really don't. And I remember I was working with junior hires years ago, and it was a truck driver of all things. We were having fun. We had teenagers that were, I don't know, they got a CB. They're talking to this guy right next to us. And the guy says to me, he's like, how do you do it, man, with all these junior hires? And I told him I had my nerves surgically removed years ago, so they can't get on my nerves. But I don't let people get under my skin very easily. I really don't. But every once in a while, and it's a shock to me, because all of a sudden I'm just like, that person is so far under my skin, and I just said something I can't believe. How did that happen? And I was on a mission trip this one time, and there was this person. She said a couple things, and I'm like, I can't believe that I just responded that way. So I don't care who you are, where you come from, some folks will get under your skin, you're going to react a certain way. Do you know what? When it's one person, here's the thing. It's such a grace to be able to say, do you know what? I'm sorry. I know what I just said. Sometimes you can honestly say, I didn't mean it. And sometimes you have to say, I'm just sorry. And I shouldn't have said it. Do you know that some of the people that I have better relationships with are people that have gotten under my skin, and then I've had to apologize to, but they got to see a little bit of Paul Glyman that most people don't normally see. I told you the story of the guy at the health club that ripped the remote control out of my hand. He's my buddy now. Before that, he wasn't my buddy. But we went through that little thing together over that stupid remote. And I hope he learned his lesson. You don't rip the remote out of the hand of a man with white hair. You just don't do that. Ever. Ever. Now, I know there's some amens out there. There's some other people. I can think of someone that I really lost my cool with. I think he looks up to me now as a father figure. It's amazing. I think of one incident that happened on a basketball court where I completely lost my cool. What he did was wrong. What I did, I lost my cool. Got a text from him this week. He said, let's keep in touch. That incident, that's like 15 years ago. Sometimes, so I don't want to discourage you where people are just like, well, I said something wrong. You know, sometimes we do. There are times where we can get those feathers back when it's with an individual. And you know what? There's not a lot of people who ever hear someone say, I'm sorry, and I shouldn't have said that. And not qualify it and blame the other person. You know, I'm really sorry I said that, but I'm more sorry that you said what you said. You know, that doesn't work very well. It just doesn't. It never has. It never will. According to this, no unwholesome talk, none from my mouth, only what will build you up. And you know what that means? It means I have got to get to know and understand you. In this time, in this place, in this world that's so much about me, did you see my post on Facebook? There are a few people that will tell me, yeah, I saw your post on Facebook. Well, you didn't respond. No, you didn't like it. No. You're stalking me. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. It's like, oh, it's creepy. But thanks for telling me you're stalking me. We are so focused on me from the beginning of this book to the end, and Jesus as the perfect example. We are invited to love other people, to accept them, to encourage them, to know what makes them tick. And then there's even people that are different than us, and God says, you know what? Be like me. Love your enemies. Do it. There is power in the words that you say. I want you to know that. There's power in the words that you say to your wife, to your children, to your husband, to your parents, to people at work, when you're going through the checkout line. There's power in the words that you say, more than you can imagine. Every once in a while, I'm reminded that there's something that I said a long time ago. I had lunch with former high school student. She's graduated from college now, going on to law school, had the opportunity to go down to the city. and connect with her. She lost her father last year. And she just made the comment. I know she contacted me after she got a Christmas card from me. And she just told me, I love your Christmas cards. There's power in the words that we speak. We can share life with people, or we can share death with people. We can share blessing or curses with people. James lays out the challenge and just says, guys, I know it's hard. But do you know what? Jesus says, I will live in your life. I will give my spirit to you. And do you know, sometimes when I'm writing Christmas cards or I'm sending texts to people, and sometimes it's even with preaching points, to me, it's usually the riskier ones, the ones that reveal more of what's really in my heart. And sometimes I'm hesitant to do it because what if someone doesn't care about what's in my heart? I have found that when I share the love that's in my heart, good things happen. Let's pray. Father, there's not a person here that doesn't have power in their words. I know I'm the guy that gets to hold the microphone here on Sunday mornings. But Father, we communicate so many things to one another. Help us to know that you want to bless people with our lips, with our tongue. Some of us have some real issues. We allow some people to get under our skin way too quickly. Father, help us to be honest about what our issues are. Bring them to you. And you love us, but you love us too much to leave us the way we are. Transform us by your grace, by your power. We need you. We ask for your help. You tell us that when your spirit is in our lives, that there's fruit from that. And one of the specific fruits is self-control. We need your self-control, Lord. And empower us to speak your love, your grace, your truth to our generation, the generation before us and the generation behind us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's